angels and the saints singing praise Adonai. From the rising of the sun to the end of every day, praise Adonai. All the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints sing praise.
Honey, Ted's here for worship. Liturgy's normal. Yep, just liturgy's normal, whatever. Yeah. Why should I be?
10 ain't. Liturgy is.
10 ain't normal, but liturgy is. Ted's been doing peyote. He drinks.
Y'all have that here?
He drinks peyote tea. Can somebody get him a glass of peyote tea? All right. All right, then why should I be afraid then?
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Why should I be afraid? Stand and shout the victory.
pizza cake. Pizza cake.
And it's in the time stop.
Yeah, it's okay. You can cut it off. That's fine. Yeah.
Is it time to start?
It's okay. We'll just. Okay. Steps firm, many will see and hear.
That is Beersheba, a German band.
I'm thinking of
I hear your voice in there.
Nope, that's Olaf.
No one can love
nope, I don't do this song. I wrote it, but I don't
here
do
I
it.
Am, sending your presence. Love me the way you
still got a... What about Baruch Hashem, Ted? Or...
Yeah, I know all those. Let's do Breathe On Me. I don't know that one.
Well, we don't gonna, we don't have to do that. We're just going to play it.
Oh, Breathe On Me?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just going to play.
So well, I'm love, cool. I'm set. We're ready to start?
Yeah. Where's the music for that? Okay, I got you. Revelation song.
Oh, yeah, it is. So this is how it goes. I never heard the song. I've heard people play it, but I never heard the song.
But now you're going to learn it.
It's just four chords, right?
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy. Heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. To the King of Kings, You are my everything, and I will adore You.
Shabbat Shalom, everybody. This is Shabbat Shalom in the house. Shabbat Shalom in the home. Praise the Lord. This is Rabbi Joe. I want to welcome folks online on live stream. And we're here. We're not. This is not a concert today. Ted's joining me for worship, and he's being real nice to me today.
So far,
he hasn't yelled at me yet. So. I'm feeling good, and we're going to have fun today.
Hallelujah.
We're just going to chill out.
Yeah.
And if you judge anything, judge me, because I made Ted do this, and don't blame him. So this has no reflection on his talent or abilities or anointing as a musician and worship leader, worshiper. Okay? It's all on me. So we're going to have a good time. We're glad you're with us, and we're going to get started. Can somebody grab me a bottle of water, please? That'd really bless me. Thank you. And we're going to... thank you, dear.
If you got one, yeah. Sure. Thank you.
Is this... It's not been opened, right? It's fine.
Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord on this Shabbat, isn't it?
Amen.
Well, I'm glad to see all y'all come here. So we would like to welcome our special guest, Yeshua. You are welcome here today.
Amen.
We come to give you glory and honor and just to rejoice in your presence. Thank you, Father, for all who are gathered this morning. Thank you for the servants. Thank you for the water.
Yes. Amen. All right. We're going to start with Shabbat Shalom and D.
In D?
A. In A.
A?
Then we'll do Yom Zeh. And okay. It's going to be... That's good.
Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom. Shabbat Menucha, Yom Zeh Yisrael, Ora Besimcha, Shabbat Menucha, Shabbat Menucha.
Hey!
This day for Yisrael, this day for Yisrael, this day for Yisrael, filled with light and joy, this day for Yisrael. Sabbath
of his
rest,
Sabbath of his rest, Sabbath of his rest.
Glory!
Hallelujah!
Woo!
You gotta show me that one, Joe.
Well, I gotta teach Ted that song he wrote. All right, the blessing of the Messiah. We do it every week. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Asher natan lanu et derech ha-Yeshua, b'Mashiach Yeshua, amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's given us the way of salvation in the Messiah Yeshua. Amen.
Matovu. Somebody help Aja, please.
Matovu. Halecha Yaakov Mishkenotecha Yisrael. How good He lightens, O Jacob, Thy tabernacles, Israel. In a liberal hastecha, Vobetecha, Eshtachavet,
house where you dwell, in the place place where your glory resides. I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Amen. Now we'll do the Vishamru. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la-sod et ha-shabbat le-dorotam barit olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la-sod et ha-shabbat le-dorotam barit olam. B'nei Yisrael, Odi Leolam. Veshamru, B'nei Yisrael, Et HaShabbat, Lasod Et HaShabbat, Ledorotam Barit Olam.
Asadonai,
Shemayim v'et haaretz, Vishamru, v'nei Yisrael, et ha-shabbat, la-sod et ha-shabbat, le-dorotam barit olam. Kisheshet yamim asadonai, Shemayim v'et haaretz, Vishamru, v'nei Yisrael, et ha-shabbat, la-sod et ha-shabbat, le-dorotam barit olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, we say to Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace no more. For God will bless them that love her. Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you, Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you, Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. We pray for you, Shalom Aleichem.
Heavenly Father, we just come before you and we pray Shalom Shalom Yerushalayim. As rockets were launched from Gaza into Israel yesterday, we continue to pray that those rockets land in the desert, that they blow up on the launch pads, that they land in the sea and in the wilderness, Lord, and that they don't harm the people. We pray, Lord, that you would just miraculously and supernaturally calm the fears and the PTSD of the people there who are terrorized by these rockets. The Jewish people that are terrorized by the Palestinian terrorists. who are sending rockets into Israel. And we thank you, Lord, that you bring, that you the battle is yours and vengeance is yours, Lord. And that you deal with them justly. Thank you, Lord. We pray, Lord, for the salvation of the nation of Israel, and from the highest street sweeper to the lowest prime minister. Hallelujah. From every level of government, from the medical staff to the military to the Knesset, that you would open their eyes, Lord, and we pray that you silence those dogs next door. Just put a stick in their mouth, Lord, in Yeshua's name. Bind that noise. Hallelujah. Lord, we pray for the Messianic community here in Israel and in the United States, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for our friends who were spared the wrath of the hurricane, Lord. We pray for those who did suffer, that you would help them, those who are flooded and can't have service and have flooding issues and water issues. We just pray for your mercy upon them. We pray, Lord, for the rabbis today, Lord, all the rabbis, Lord, that you would give them boldness and they would not fear man or be worried about tithes and such, that they would preach boldly the word of God with a prophetic anointing, Lord, that they've been given as messianic rabbis. Lord, we pray that you would anoint our executive leadership, that you would remove the spirit of Shebna, and that you would bring in the spirit of Eliakim from Isaiah 22:22, that you would remove any of that spirit of Shebna would be taken out of our leadership. Give them vision, give them the spirit of the Father to father the rabbis, and that the rabbis would father the people, Lord. What we ask in the name of Yeshua. Lord, save your people Israel in the diaspora. Lord, open our eyes, save them, save. Pray for my family, my lost family, my sisters, my brother, and their families, Lord, and my cousins, Lord, that you would open their eyes to Yeshua, to the Messiah, that just as you did to me, Lord, that you would send those hound dogs of heaven after them. In the name of Yeshua, Lord, the time to favor Zion has come. Lord, the time to favor Zion has come. We thank you, God, and bless our we pray for our leaders in this country, for President Trump and his cabinet. We pray for his decisions, his wisdom and guidance, that your hand would rest upon him. Your word says to pray for our leaders, and we pray for him, for his strength, protection over him and his family, his children, Lord, and his wife, that you would guard them and guard their lives. We pray, Lord, help him to make right decisions, Lord. Help him to weather the storm of attack that's going against him. So every day in the media and such, Lord, we just pray for his strength and we pray, Lord, for your wisdom in this election, Lord, your outcome. In Yeshua's name, and I want to say something. If you are pro-life and you are pro-Bible, Joe Biden wants to do away with worship. He said he wants to do away with the Bible, and almost every one of them is for abortion at the time of post-birth abortion, if you stand for God and you stand for the Bible, if you stand for life,
righteousness in any way,
you have no other choice who to vote for than the man that's in there right now. Whether you like him or not, he's the only choice you have. So you just think about that. Praise the Lord. In Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. And now the Lord says, he who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself. For he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
Amen.
Avinu, Malkeinu, Maker of all things, ruling o'er the works of your hands.
Of your hands.
You love loved us so.
He loved us so.
You sent your Son.
You sent your Son
to take our sin and shame. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. How thee knew.
How
Cain
knew,
maker of all things,
maker of all things,
ruling all the works of your hand,
of your hand.
You loved us so,
you sent your Son
to take our sin and shame. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name.
Amen. Please rise for the Shema. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malchuto Leolam Vaed. V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, v'chol levavcha uv'chol nafshecha, uv'chol me'odecha, v'hayu hadivarim ha'ele, asher enochi mitzvcha hayom al levavecha, v'shinatam levanecha, v'dibarta baham, v'shivtecha b'vetecha, uv'lechtecha v'aderech, Uveshachpacha, uvekumecha, ukeshartam, liot al yadecha, behayu atotafot beinecha, uchatavtam, al mezuzot beitecha, uvisharecha.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Bless is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. And have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children. Speak of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house, and upon your gates.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Oh, I'm going to ask Wendell and Xavier to help Wendell get ready to come and carry the Torah today. Xavier, would you help Wendell? Okay. Praise the Lord.
Adonai Michamocha Nedar Bakodesh Norai Tehilo
Oh say Fele Oh say
Ein kamocha ba'elim Adonai, ba'ein kemasecha, מלכותך, מלכות כל עולמים, וממשלתך בכל דור ודור. אדוני מלך, אדוני מלך, אדוני ימלוך לעולם ועד, אדוני עוז לעמו ייתן, אדוני יברך את עמו בשלום. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned, the Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Amen.
Shebetachim gam yachad Hine ma tohu ma naim Shebetachim gam yachad Hine ma tohu Shebetachim gam yachad Hine ma tohu Shebetachim gam yachad
Ben Saharon Vayomer Moshe Kuma Adonai Viafutsu Oivecha Vianusu Misanecha Mipanecha Ki Mitzion Tetse Torah Ki Mitzion Tetse Torah Umar Adonai Mirushalayim Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Li'amo Yisrael Big du chateau. When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel. Amen. Ladies, are you freezing? Okay. I'll take care of it. Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah. Baruch Hu El Adonai Havora.
Baruch
Adonai Baruch Yom Ba'ed. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Ha'amim
Netnatan Lanu Et Torto. Baruch Atah Adonai Noteinu Ma'Torah. Amen.
Bless the Lord, the Blessed One, for all eternity.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, I speak French. What can I say? I'm a little behind, you know. Hey, you know, I just want to just welcome Ted Pierce here today.
Thank you.
He called me up a few days ago and he asked me to jam, and I said, you know, if you really want to help me, I'm alone doing worship. Would you come play worship with me? Because my wife just became an airline captain.
Yay!
Hallelujah. 2 days ago, and she's been away for 3 weeks, and she's coming home tonight.
Captain.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Captain Dawn is coming home.
No more TV dinners?
I don't know about no more TV dinners, but she's coming home for a few days. Anyway, so Ted called me when I went down to the cancer center in Winston-Salem with Mr. Wendell back here, and he went with me, and we had a good old time. I'll just say they had never met anyone like Wendell at the Garden Inn, the Hilton Garden Inn down there in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and I don't think they ever will. We'll just leave it at that, right, Wendell? We had a good time. We even backed up on a highway. But we did make it to the appointment. Praise the Lord. So Ted called me when I was on my way down there, and he says, you know, you want to jam? And we were talking, and out of the blue, you know, I was surprised and blessed. And I said, you know, if you really want to help me, Ted, come help me do worship. You know, and he came from Asheville today, and let's give it up to the Lord for Ted. I know this is not his typical gig, so it's
much easier,
and it's a little cheesier too. But we also want to notice our friend Terry hiding behind the curtain. Terry drove all the way. He wasn't going to come today, but I said last night. I said, why don't you come down? I'll put you up in a hotel. I offered to put him up in a hotel tonight. I said, come on down. So he drove up. What time did you leave? 3 o'clock? 4 o'clock? He left at 3 a.m. from C. Pepper, Virginia. And he drove all the way down here and just to be here for this special occasion. Amen. Let's give it up. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hey, Terry.
Amen.
Good to go, man.
So we're having this a special day today, and I believe God's got a special word for you. We've got a message called Making Idols Out of the Things of God. Making Idols Out of the Things of God, and we're going to talk about that. And but right now, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Anthony Cody.
Thank you. You can be seated. Okay, his message goes right in with the Torah today. It usually does. Today's Torah portion is Shoftim, and that means the judges. It's from Deuteronomy chapter 16 through chapter 21. You know, last week we talked a little bit about the days of Ah leading up to Yom Kippur, and that's called Yamin, Noraim, and it means it's a time to begin teshuva, which is repentance in Hebrew, and it's telling God is calling us to get our spiritual house in order. That's what he's asking us to do, to get spiritually in order. You know, since creation, mankind has always sought for the truth, even though we have limits on what we can obtain. You see, the Torah is not a book about tradition, but every word of the Torah is new each day as you read it. And I encourage you to read your scriptures every day. You see, tradition is not life, but tradition, I think, preserves life, that we have the various things that we do. You see, God has given us his Torah and has provided mankind with an absolute standard of what the truth is for the world today. You see, with the Torah, it gives us an objective value. It gives us guidelines and principles that are applicable in all situations of our life. It doesn't matter what place you're in or what time, God's word is always relevant for whatever you're involved in. And today, God is instructing Moses to establish judges, and these judges will interpret and apply the law, because at this time, Moses was not able to take care of every situation that came up, because after all, he was God's person that was chosen to lead the people, and he had to spend time with God, and he couldn't actually be involved in all in the daily squabbles with that many people. You know, they had to be a monumental amount of people squabbling back and forth. So God says, establish judges and let them deal with these mundane tasks of every day of the bickering or whatever. But God also, in telling him to establish judges, God is saying, you place the judges at your gate. He says, with every gate, you should have a judge that will conform to the Torah's instructions and carry out God's instructions in the Torah. You know, the Great Wall of China was never breached all the centuries that it was a Great Wall. What happened, how China became invaded, was the people who wanted to attack China, they got a hold of the gatekeepers, and they bought them out, and the gatekeepers opened the gates and let the enemies of China come in, because no one ever really went over the wall. They just walked through. So the gate is a very important thing to be in a person's life, and to have a gatekeeper is most important. It says you have to judge, and God is calling us to be judges and gatekeepers at our homes, and to use the Torah as a way to enforce that gatekeeper. And God is saying your gates. That means our personal gates. God's talking about a physical gate, but he's also talking about a personal gate and your interaction with the world. You see, we all have gates within our bodies, and your gate must be a place that is guarded, and it must be used by the Torah. You must use the Torah to provide a gatekeeper to surround that gate. You see, your eyes are your gate. Your ears are gates. Your nose is a gate. Your mouth is a gate. And even your skin is a gate that things can enter in. In today's world, we're bombarded with all kinds of things. If you go to the grocery store, there's all kinds of things for you to check out, all these magazines and different things that have all this crazy stuff on them. But God is calling us today to guard our personal gates with utmost attention. We must be very cognitive of everything that's going on in the world today that invades us. And God also, what's coming on, what Rabbi is going to speak on later, God is saying, he says, build an altar. The altars were not supposed to be hewn with any type of metal or anything. They were just supposed to take the rock that they found and made an altar. He also tells them to not build a monument, which is exactly what Rabbi is going to speak on. You see, when you build a monument, it's erecting something that people, for the sake of, will begin to look to and to actually worship when that's the reason God says, you worship, I am the Lord your God, there is no other. You don't need a monument to worship me. You don't need some type of an emblem to worship me. He says, worship the Lord your God, because I am the only God there is. And so we are to submit ourselves upon this personal altar that we must build. And when we submit ourselves to that, God will use us in a mighty and powerful way. You see, and just to close this morning, the Torah portion, but as Yeshua took up the basin and the towel, you know, he washed the disciples' feet, and that was a very humbling experience, because here's the Son of God washing the disciples' feet. Why did he wash the feet? Because that was usually the part of the body that got the most dirty when you walked, because they didn't have paved highways and roads. You walked in dirt and dust. So your feet was the part that became the dirty parts. So he washed them. But he gives us an example. He's telling us we also have to test that basin of water in the towel every morning as we go out into the world, because the world will dirty you. It will make you unclean in a very simple and complex way. It can do it. It can make you that way. And just to close the tour this morning is from Acts chapter 17. And it tells us that Yeshua is the judge that has been appointed by God. And he will judge the living and the dead. That's Yeshua. You're going to be the judge. Shabbat shalom.
Bezod HaTorah Asher Samoshe Lifnei B'nei Yisrael Al Pi Adonai Piyad Moshe.
And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand.
Tzahayim hi Lachzikim ba Tokeha Eusha Drachea Drachenoam Lechol Nativoteha Shalom Ashiveinu Adonai Elecha V'nashuva Hadesh, Hadesh Amenu, Hadesh Amenu Kekedem.
Wisdom is a tree of life to those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord. And we shall return. Renew our days as of old. Amen. Amen. Can I get my headset on, please? Test 1, 2. All right. Test 2, 3. So, praise the Lord. Welcome, everybody. It's good to see so many pretty faces in the house today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Especially Wendell's. Yes, he told me he was pretty. It scared Buzz. I sent pictures. Wendell was wearing plaid. He had a plaid shirt. Can I tell him this?
Uh-uh.
No, I can't tell him this. So anyways, so all right, he says I can now. Okay. So he was wearing a light gray with a red stripe kind of plaid shirt. And then he had like dark green and navy blue shorts, plaid. You know, and it was the morning I woke up. He woke me up at 6:15 in the morning, and he was just giving orders, loud orders, to his crew at work. And I said, Wendell, would you mind going down in the lobby and doing that? So he was very kind, and he took care of business and went down there in his plaid. And I don't think they'd ever met anybody quite like Wendell down there, a plaid mountain man. And so when we showed up, we went down later on to check out. They were all started smiling, and they all said, there's plaid man. Oh, boy. We had a good time. We were laughing. We just had a great trip. It was fun. And anyway, so for those of you who don't know, Wake Forest University Medical Center has an integrative medicine unit, which is a naturopathic medicine unit, and it's connected to the university. And this is a very rare thing. If you're into natural treatments and remedies, but you're not sure what to take or how much to take, and the doctors don't, you know, you take your natural stuff, your essential oils and your vitamins to the doctor, and they just laugh at you. They don't take you seriously with that stuff. I found out I was taking way too much vitamin D. I found out I was taking way too much vitamin B, and way too much melatonin. I want to tell you all, I take melatonin to help me sleep. Well, it's like a candy. It's in a gummy. It's sweet, so I just pop them, you know, top two or three at night, you know. And, you know, if I need to take a nap in the day, I pop a couple more. She told me I was overdosing on melatonin. And you don't know that. I mean, who would think you could overdose on melatonin? But she, it's real. And it can affect your adrenal system. And so I have to cut way back on melatonin. She said to replace it with valerian root. If you need to take something else to help you sleep, take valerian root. But who would think, you know, they make candy out of it, strawberry, blackberry, chews. You know, you just think, who thinks it's like a candy? Just pop them, you know, until you go to sleep, you know. And it was messing me up. So I'm glad I went down there because no doctor told me this. And they work with my cancer doctor. They work with the hospital. And so you can get integrative medicine down there that's joined with a university medical center. And they work together. And that's what we did. So it was really excellent. So for folks who need to know that, I want you to know especially about the melatonin because it's so. I know a lot of folks are taking it now. And here's one coming right now. As he, you know, I'm just kidding. Here's my buddy Fred. Hey, Fred, welcome. And so anyway, God bless you. So we have Maurice Sklar's coming on the weekend of the 20th. Maurice and Devorah Sklar, master violinist, and he is. Trained at Juilliard, but he plays everything from I can't tell you what he's going to do Saturday night in the Tri-Cities region. It's going to have Rhythm and Roots Festival will be downtown, but the place where the real Rhythm and Roots began is that's where he's going to be. If you know what I'm talking about, I'm not allowed to advertise it, so I can't tell you what it is. But you got to figure that one out, where the real Rhythm and Roots began, and what town that is. So anyway, Maurice is coming, and they're going to let him play a little bit, and he's excited about that. That's been on his bucket list, and he's going to do a concert here Friday night. Then he'll be with us for worship on Saturday, just like Ted, and probably a little different, though. And then... he's going to do a concert at, he'll be at First Presbyterian on Sunday morning, and then Sunday night, he'll be, Sunday at 4 p.m., he'll do an early evening concert at First Presbyterian in Bristol. Go to my website, www.forzionsake.org. If you're on there, you can check this flyer out. He's played with Larry Gatlin, he's played with Ricky Skaggs, he travels with Governor Mike Huckabee. And he's Mike Huckabee's personal violinist. He travels all over the world with Mike Huckabee. So come see Maurice Sklar. He's coming on the weekend of the 20th. Also, we have our fall feast schedule. Our first service is Sunday, September 29th at 6:30 p.m., Rosh Hashanah, Jewish New Year, Yom Teruah, the blowing of trumpets, is the 29th of September at 6:30 p.m., so please come out. Our schedule is also on the website. So if you're on the website, you can find this. And we have our calendars. We have these beautiful calendars in for our new calendars from Israel. And they're art calendars, 16-month art calendars from Israel. And I just love these pictures. Here's one. Here's one of Galilee. I think that's the city of Tiberias. And so anyway, if you'd like to get a Jewish calendar and has January, February, March, April, May, but also has the biblical feasts on it. It's a 16-month calendar. They're $17.99. If you need one shipped to you, it's add another $2. They're $19.99. And just order it online. We'll send you however many you need. I think just add an extra buck if you're going to need more than one calendar, just make it $3. And if you need four calendars, just make it $3 extra, and we'll send you the calendar. So they're beautiful. We only have a limited quantity, so if you want to order one or two or three, they make great gifts. We have get yourself a calendar for this year. And that's all my announcements. Don, I want to congratulate Don again on becoming captain. For those of you who've been in the military, anybody been in the military knows that how hard, what work kind of work goes into becoming a captain. And she's my hero. I'll tell you, she's one tough lady. She was training from 5, 7 p.m. till 4 in the morning, 2 a.m. from like 5 p.m. to 2 a.m. or 7 p.m. to 4 a.m. For 3 weeks, with the exception of 2 days, I think. She had 2 days off, night after night after night. I mean, just till, you know, sleep, working all through the night in Houston. And then she was past her check ride in Cincinnati. And now she's back in Houston today. Lord, we just pray for Dawn that she passes. She's got her one pre-flight before she actually flies the airplane with passengers. She has one practice flight right now that she's on. We just pray for success for her practice flight today and bring her home safely tonight. In Yeshua's name, Lord, we pray. Give her success and her pre-flight, her practice flight today. And we just thank you, Lord, for our Rebbetzin, our Captain Rebbetzin. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Glory to God. I'm amazed. You know, I've been saying for 20 years, and if you heard my message last week on the second Exodus, it's written in there. It was published in 2000. The first one was published in 2001 or two. Said it right in there that she was going to fly Jewish people back. She was going to fly jets again. She hasn't flown jets since she started last year, since 1997. And God told me, I believe God told me 20 years ago she was going to fly jets again. And I've been saying it ever since, and now she's flying jets. She's on her way, so praise God. So amen. So we're going to take up our tithes and offerings this morning. We're going to take up our tithes and offerings. And, you know, the Bible says, you know, people say to me sometimes, they say, Rabbi Joe, you know, I know a guy, and his wife, you know, he and his wife are, they've been very successful in life, but they never have any money. And the reason I've come to a conclusion is they don't tithe. They don't go anywhere, they don't tithe, and they're always struggling. You know, he's a fairly wealthy couple, but they just never have any money. You know, and things that I have that I don't have to constantly sell, he's always having to sell to get a few bucks. You know what I'm saying? It's just weird. And I've never really said anything to him because he doesn't come here, and I just don't feel the liberty yet to say tithe. You know, God taught me when I had the Manabagel company and I wasn't tithing on not even what I made, but I always tithed on what I made for a living. But I didn't tithe on the sales. And when I started tithing on the gross sales of the Manabagel company, it tripled. The sales tripled in about a year and a half, from about 120, actually more than tripled. It went from about 120, 130,000 to 400,000 in sales in a little over a year's time. And when I started tithing, and what I would do, instead of paying the light bill, instead of paying the help, instead of paying the insurance, instead of paying the food costs, instead of paying the taxes, the first check I would write every Monday morning was a tithe on the gross sales of the previous week. The gross sales of the previous week. You know, 10% of the gross sales of the previous week. And God tripled my business. And then I was able to tithe when I didn't have two nickels. Before that, at the end of the month, after I paid the salaries, the light bill, the taxes, the insurance, the food costs, I didn't have anything left to tithe. Two nickels, you know. But when I started tithing at the beginning of the week, there was money left in the bank at the end of the month, and the ministry benefited between $2,000 and $3,000 a month, right, Anthony? I mean, it was significant. It was between $500 and $800 a week, I think. you know, for 7 years or so, you know, 8 or 9 years. It was amazing, wasn't it? I mean, you witnessed the miracle of the tithe. So let's pray. And the folks online, if you're watching, you don't have a congregation, you'd like to support Messianic Judaism, Stand with Israel. If this is your congregation online, you'd like to tithe, you can do that right there securely on PayPal. Please give us, if you do, please give us your name and address so we can receipt you. Because if you go on PayPal, all we get is your name, and we don't have any way to receipt you. So we need to know your address, your email, and preferably your name and phone number, so that we're not going to call you every week or anything like that. We're not that kind of ministry. We just need it so we can receipt you and so forth. So anyway, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the gifts today, your tithes, and that belongs to you, Lord. Tithe is holy to the Lord. We thank you, and we just ask your blessing, that you bless the givers 100-fold as they give today. Bless them 100-fold for their gifts today, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you do it, and that you would bless the gifts and teach us about tithing. And help us to remember the poor. And there's a basket there for alms. If you have spare change that you'd like to put in the basket for alms for the poor, for the needy, if you have some spare change in your pocket, the basket's right there next to the box. So God bless you as you give. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Since the fire within burned bright and strong, breathe on me, breathe on me like a gentle breeze. Lord, I ask you please to tender. In your mercy. a holy wind, until you do, I'll wait for you. To breathe on me, breathe on me. It's been so long since the fire within burned bright and strong. Breathe on me, breathe on me, like a gentle breeze. Lord, I ask you, please, won't you tender me? That I've lost my desire, it's just that what once was a fire has dwindled again, and it needs to be kindled again. So breathe on me, since the fire within burned bright and strong. Breathe on me, breathe on me. Deep inside I know, hiding embers glow, they could grow into a flame for all to see. If you'd only, if you'd only, if you'd only.
Okay, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. You feel His presence here? Amen. You know, somebody, a friend of mine, said to me, they live down in Florida, and they're always being evacuated from hurricanes. And sometimes this friend comes up here, and in the last 20 years, it's probably come up 4 times to avoid hurricanes. And the friend, I won't name names, but the friend said to me on Facebook, I'm waiting for God to tell me when it's time to move out of Florida. So I said, maybe God is trying to tell you something in the hurricane. Maybe every time you have to leave, He's trying to tell you to get out. Because so you never know when the next monster is going to come in and wipe out everything. You just don't know. So if you live in Florida or along the coast and you've been dabbling with the thought of moving, and you're waiting for God to speak to you, I have a word for you. Listen to the voice of the hurricane and get the heck out of there and move to Tennessee and come join us. Praise the Lord. All right. That's my prophetic word for this morning.
The city where I'm from was completely wiped out in 2017. But I got out 30 years ago.
Wow.
But those hurricanes are, you know, they're just, they're not predictable. I mean, I don't know how you can live in the southeast of the United States with and avoid a hurricane.
Amen.
But I knew better than to move to Florida.
Amen. And you know, if you move to the other side of the mountains, Ted, you don't get it doesn't come here. You notice it's sunny.
It's beautiful in the mountains, beautiful. Though.
It is. But we don't get the rains and we don't get the lashing that y'all get on the other side, do you? Do we? You know, and the cold in the winter too. We don't get it. It's not as cold here. But anyway, so that's just a plug to get you to move here, Ted. All right, we're going to go start our worship. Am I a good arm twister?
Yeah.
Gentle. I'm subtle.
Yeah, very
subtle. All right, let's go to worship. Hallelujah. Subtle as a hurricane. Amen. No. That's communion.
Of Zion, O Abraham's sons, hear the words of your father, hear his promise of love. I will make you a blessing, so count the stars if you can. You will be a great nation. I will give you this land. I will bring you back home. I'll bring you back home, oh my children. You will no longer roam, lost and alone in the night. There is nothing on earth that could take you away once I gather you under my wings. I will bring you all back home again. Though you've wandered like strangers to the ends of the earth, I will send you a Savior. I will finish my work. You have no other shepherd. You have no other Lord. Green pastures are waiting in Zion once more. I will bring you back home, I'll bring you back home, oh my children. You will no longer roam, lost and alone in the night. There is nothing on earth that could take you away once I gather you. Look to the east, the sun rises sudden and fierce. Every prophet and priest, king in the city, will look on the one they have pierced. We will mourn for the one we have pierced. But don't fear, oh my daughters, or sons of Abraham. I will wash you with water, I will offer the lamb. Though your sins were like scarlet, they'll be whiter than snow. I have always been with you, I will never let go. I will bring you back home, bring you back home, oh my children. You will no longer roam lost and alone in the night. There is nothing on earth that could take you away. Once I carry you under my wings, I will bring you all back home. Bring you all back home again. Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
Hallelujah. Thank you. That was an Aaron Schust song. Aaron Schust, the Christian musician. Praise the Lord. He's become messianic.
Everyone will someday.
Who is like him? Lion and the Lamb, seated on the throne. The mountains bow down, every ocean roars to the Lord of hosts. Praise Adonai, from the rising of the sun to the end of every day. Praise Adonai, all the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints, sing praise. Who is like him, Lion and the Lamb, seated on the throne? Mountains bow down, every ocean roars to the Lord of hosts.
Come praise him.
Praise Adonai, from the rising of the sun to the end of every day. Praise Adonai, all the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints, sing praise.
rising of the sun to the end of every day. Praise Adonai. All the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints, sing praise Adonai. From the rising of the sun to the end of every day, praise Adonai. All the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints, sing praise.
Anybody wants to dance?
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Why should I be afraid? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Why should I be afraid? Oh, 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 me for the Lord. Three times he heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit, out of the miry clay. Sing a new song. I will sing a new song. I long to sing this song. I long to sing this song. Footsteps firm, hallelujah! Many will see and fear. I will sing a new song. I will sing a new song. Sing a new song. I will sing.
Presence, Yeshua.
true.
Somebody mind getting a couple close-up camera shots of me and Ted up here? Like that for our archives. Revelation song. Fill with wonder,
awestruck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, so much a marvelous mystery.
Worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Sing to Him. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise your holy name, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We worship you. Strong tower,
Holy One,
shield and fortress,
I
refuge in time of trouble.
Sing a new song.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Holy, holy, holy,
hallelujah.
Is He.
Holy, holy, holy,
holy, holy, holy.
I see the Lord enthroned on the mercy seat, surrounded by incense. Hallelujah, with the cherubim leaning over Him, and the Lord of glory, the Lord, the King of kings, is sitting on the mercy seat. Hallelujah. And He's speaking. He's speaking. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He's speaking from the cloud of incense. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. You know the needs here today, Lord.
Worthy is the
You know the needs, Lord. Hallelujah. Touch your people, Lord. Those who are here, those who are not here.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Holy, holy is He.
Holy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Holy, holy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb.
To receive all praise and glory. Worthy is the Lamb.
You are seated on the throne.
Holy, holy, holy. Worthy is the Lamb.
You are seated on your throne.
Was and is to come. Worthy is the Lamb.
We worship you, Lord.
I will adore you. Worthy is the Lamb.
We worship you. We worship
you.
Sing
a new song to you, O God.
We worship you, Lord.
Put a new song in my mouth.
Sing a new song. Sing a new song
my
to the
Lord. My heart will rejoice. My heart will
song
rejoice.
Song of praise to you, Lord.
Holy, holy, holy.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Worthy
I've
is
waited
the
upon
Lamb.
You, Lord. I've waited upon
worthy
you, Lord.
Worthy is the Lamb.
You brought me up out of the pit. Out of the miry clay.
Holy, holy is he.
Yes, Lord.
Worthy is the Lamb.
You set my feet upon a rock.
Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the
You know, if you have a prophetic word, you can give it. If anybody has a word from the Lord in his language. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to the Lord's table, the Shulchan Adonai. And if you're watching at home, we invite you to join us. Get yourself some matzah or crackers or bread, whatever you have, some fruit of the vine of your choice, and we will we'll go to the Lord's table. We're going to prepare for that moment that this whole worship leads up to every week, as we bring usher in His presence. He grants us that blessing week after week. But today was a very special day. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We love you, Lord. Let's prepare to go to the Lord's table. I'm going to ask Deborah and Sharon, would you like to serve today? Okay, why don't you guys come on up? Hallelujah. Baruch Atarnai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Borei Pri Hagafen Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Baruch Atarnai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Amotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. On the night he was betrayed, on Passover, Luke 22 tells us it was Passover, Yeshua took the third cup of the Passover meal, the cup of redemption, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sin. This cup is the new covenant, the Brit Chadashah, the new covenant in his blood poured out for the forgiveness of sin." And he took the afikomen also, which is taken after the meal at every Passover, mysteriously for thousands of years. The afikomen, in Greek it's afikomen, and it's the middle piece of the matzah. And he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This is my body given for you. This is my body given for you." And he said, for by doing that, you know, Jews always considered it dessert. The rabbis teach us that the broken afikomen in the third cup is just dessert after the Passover meal. But when Yeshua did this, he forever changed the meaning of Passover. Hallelujah. And so we want to invite all believers in the Messiah to come to his table. You don't have to be Jewish. You don't have to be a member of this congregation. You just have to believe that Yeshua is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, that he rose from the dead on the third day, conquering the power of sin and death, and that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. So if you believe that, if you've never received Yeshua, just raise your hand. If you've never received Yeshua, raise your hand, and I'll pray with you. Anybody here today? And if you're watching at home and you've never received Yeshua, just you can raise your hand wherever you are. If you're in traffic, raise your hand. I'm going to turn to my if you're so, ooh, if you and I'll pray with you. So if you don't know Yeshua and you sense the presence of God today and you'd like to invite Yeshua into your life, I'm gonna pray with you. So let's just say this prayer with me. It's not what you say, it's what's in your heart, okay? The Bible says if we believe in our hearts and we confess with our mouths that Yeshua is Lord, we will be saved. If we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth. So what we're doing is confessing. Okay, so pray with me. Dear God, I believe that you sent your Son into the world to give me eternal life. Lord, I've messed up. I've broken your laws. I confess. I've broken your commandments. Lord, I don't even know what all your commandments are. If we're honest about it, and we can't even keep all your commandments because there's no temple today, there's no sacrificial system. So Lord, forgive me that I have failed. And that's why I need Yeshua. So wash me, Yeshua. Give me a new life. Come into my heart. Forgive my sins. And write my name in your book of life. Forever and ever. In Yeshua's name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, please message me or email me. Call our office. I have a special gift for you. If you made a decision for the Lord today, please contact us. And God bless you. Everyone else, come and receive His grace. This is the table of grace. This is the table of love. This is the table of forgiveness. This is the table of healing. By coming to this table, we receive all of the things that Yeshua promised us. They're all encompassed by what this table represents. Amen? So prepare our hearts. And I always say, if you have sin, this is a good time to confess your sins to God before you come. I always say, keep a short list. Keep a short list. So come as you're ready. Amen.
The love. care for me, the love of God. He bleeds for you. He pleads for you.
Well, now it's on. I'm going to call you. I should have named you Tech Pierce. Tech Pierce. It would have been a good name. No, I like Ted. Hey, I'm thrilled that you came.
Amen.
You know, I told Ted. Ted asked, offered to jam with me, and I would love to jam with Ted, but I really needed help today, and what you did for me today.
I do it for any of my brothers.
Well, you did it, and you called. You just—I don't know what prompted you to call, but you did.
I'm home. That's what prompted. This is bugging me,
though. Go for it. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Straighten us out, Ted. Wasn't it great having Ted here today to worship with us? And you know what? He got to kind of kick back a little bit too.
Well,
amen. He says, for those who can't hear, he says it was great to be here and worship with us. Amen. It was a blessing. It is a blessing. So we hope you'll come back. And now you know that we actually do your music every week anyway. So, amen. You're always welcome.
Yes.
Always welcome. And maybe sometime we will jam. For those of you who've never jammed, jamming starts either about 1 o'clock in the afternoon and goes to about 10 o'clock at night. And there's a lot of pizza and maybe some drinks, soft drinks involved, you know, tea and things like that. It's very personal, and it's intense. Sometimes it starts about 10 o'clock at night or 8 o'clock at night and goes to 4 in the morning. But jamming is, when you really jam, you're going at it for it's like an 8-hour thing. A jam session.
You know what?
What's that?
I changed my mind. I don't want to jam with you. 2 hours is enough.
If that's all you... I let you off easy. I used to jam. All right. Well, we're on Facebook. All right. Well, God bless you. Welcome, Facebook friends. We're going to pray. Today's message is making idols out of the things of God. Making idols out of the things of God. And I think some of you are going to be surprised a little bit by some of the things I say. But it is actually possible to make idols out of the things of God. And so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. Open our ears and our hearts to receive truth, Lord. Give us a willing heart, teachable heart, Lord. Just as you did, you lived in a box for a while called the Ark of the Covenant, but you didn't stay there. And you don't live in a box. You just happen to, you know, be there for a season. And Lord, the message for us when you said to the woman at the well that there's a time coming and now is when people will not worship me on this mountain or in Jerusalem, but they'll worship me in spirit and truth, and they'll worship you all over the world, because wherever your people are, there you are also, Lord. So now just speak to us, touch our hearts, deal with us, Lord, and help us to receive your word. Bind the strong man, fill me with your message, Lord, and forgive my sins. In Yeshua's name, amen. All right. So, for over 2 decades, people have been asking me where I think the Ark of the Covenant is. For over 2 decades, people say, because I'm Jewish, all right? I'm a Jewish guy who believes in Jesus. And before I was a rabbi and way back in the 90s, people would say to me, thinking, well, I do have certain knowledge, that Jewish knowledge. God said to me a long time ago, I'm descended from some famous rabbis. I'm related to Rabbi Soloveitchik. Joseph Dovber Soloveitchik is in my family, and he married my parents. And for those of you who don't know, who know who Rabbi Soloveitchik was in the 20th century, he's perhaps the greatest Jewish theologian of the 20th century. He created modern Orthodoxy. And he also is on every box of Striet's matzah as the guy that makes it kosher. But he passed away about 25, 30 years ago. But his son has continued on. And anyway, so we're connected. My family's connected to that family. And I went to the Maimonides school that he started, a yeshiva, when I was a boy for a season. And it's not that bad. But anyway, God bless her. Lord, touch her. Touch her. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody pat her on the back, would you? Hallelujah. Get her a drink of water. All right. So for over two decades, people have been asking me where I think the Ark of the Covenant is. Do I think it will be found? Or they have told me where they believe it is. It's resting. It's rest from places such as Ethiopia to the basement of the Vatican. They've told me the Ark of the Covenant, or it's buried somewhere under the Temple Mount. I've even heard that it may be under Golgotha. Okay, that it's somehow under where the cross was. I've heard all kinds of theories where the Ark of the Covenant. I'm sure you have too. Amen. And but according to Nelson's Bible Dictionary, I looked up some interesting information, and I'm going to mix this with my own, but I do want to give Mr. Nelson credit. The Ark was a sacred portable chest that held the mercy seat and the two cherubim on top, kind of leaning over the mercy seat in the middle. The mercy seat was made of pure gold. It was a gold slab. The Ark itself was made of the shittim tree, which is the acacia wood tree. Interestingly, acacia, a lot of the implements of the temple, for those of you who don't know, were made of acacia wood covered in gold. So like the lampstand of the temple was made of acacia wood, and it was covered with gold over it. And so the Ark of the Covenant was made of acacia wood. Now, acacia wood comes from Africa, the land of Ham, okay? The acacia wood comes from Africa. It's not native to Israel. So it makes you ask the question, which I learned on a tour one time, how did the acacia tree, which you see in the desert of Israel, it's sitting there, that funky tree that looks like the Joshua tree, sort of, not quite, but this kind of tree out there in the desert that you see every 3 miles, you know, you see one or two acacia trees as you're driving along in the wilderness of Judah and Masada and around by the Dead Sea. You see it out there and you wonder, well, how did the acacia tree get there? If it's from Africa, how did it get to Israel? And why did God say to use the acacia wood to make the Ark of the Covenant? Why did he say to use it to make the lampstand? Well, let me tell you, the acacia tree, there's only two possible ways. Birds ate the seeds of the acacia tree and flew 1,000 miles or more from Africa. They flew into Israel and up past Ethiopia and Egypt and Somalia and Sudan and wherever, you know, those countries in that area, in that region. And they brought the seeds, and then they, you know, do what birds do after they get a full tank. They dropped it, and it landed. Another theory is that camels, which also a lot of them came out of Africa, camels can go, you know, great long distances without drinking or even eating. They can travel for hundreds and hundreds of miles. But when they go, when they go to the bathroom, they drop. So if they eat the acacia seeds, they would drop them in the desert of Israel. And those are two theories of how the acacia seed, how the tree got to Israel. And isn't it interesting that God would use something from, you know, he always used like the cedars of Lebanon to help build the temple. He always used foreign things. you know. But anyway, I want to go down that path. But it's interesting. Now, so the ark was a sacred portable chest that held the mercy seat and the two cherubim. It's probably rotted by now because after 3,000. Well, let's see. It was made about time of David, so about 3,000 years or so, give or take. The wood would probably be rotted because it's thought that the Babylonians carried it away, and I doubt they put it in a climate controlled museum. So the acacia wood is probably eaten up by ants or termites or insects, you know. And if there's anything left of it, it's probably in pretty sad shape. The only thing that would last is the gold. Okay, so let's go on. So according to Joshua 6:11, it was also known as the Ark of the Lord. And in Exodus 25:22, it's called the Ark of the Testimony. Now, the Ark was the only article of furniture in the innermost room of the tabernacle and Solomon's temple, known as the Holy of Holies. From between the two cherubim that were on the ark, God spoke to Moses once a year on the feast of Yom Kippur, which is coming up. I told you our fall feasts are coming, and if you want to learn about Yom Kippur, you can go to our website. Our service for Yom Kippur begins on Wednesday night, October 9th at 6:30 p.m. Come learn. I'm sorry, Tuesday, October 8th is our first service at 6:30. And our closing service is October 9th at 6:30. Come join us. Go to our website and www.forzionsake.org, and you can come learn about Yom Kippur, because that was the day when the high priest would enter the Holy of Holies once a year, and he would meet with God, and he would sprinkle. The high priest would enter the Holy of Holies on that day to sprinkle the blood of a bull. On the mercy seat, seven times he would sprinkle blood. He would kind of flick his hand and sprinkle it. And according to Leviticus 16:14, the Lord would appear in a cloud created by incense. Now, why did the Lord hide himself in a cloud of incense from the high priest? Anybody have an idea? No one could look on his face. That's right. To look on the face of the Lord would mean death. And so the Torah tells us to look on the face of God would mean death. So he hid his face in a cloud of incense. And according to the Talmud, they would put a rope around the ankle of the high priest in case he died going into the Holy of Holies. They would put a rope around his ankle so they could drag him out, because nobody else could go in there. Only him once a year. The high priest could go in once a year, so nobody else could go in there. So the only way they could get him out, they tied a rope to his ankle in case something happened and he died, or, you know, and they had to pull him out. That's what they did. All right? And that was written in the Talmud. So let's go on. So he went in once a year and he sprinkled the blood of a bull on the mercy seat. According to Leviticus 16:14, the Lord would appear in a cloud of the mercy seat caused by the incense, that he die not, it says in Leviticus 16:13, just as Sharon said. Then he would repeat the process with the blood of a goat, and he would sprinkle the blood of a goat seven times, and he would make atonement for himself, for his family, and for all the congregation of Israel. On the 10th day of the 7th month, verse 29 of Leviticus 16 tells us that feast is called Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, and we're going to celebrate it this year again on October 9th here at 6:30, October 8th at 6:30, two services. But the best one probably, if you're going to attend, is the first one on the 8th at 6:30, Tuesday night. So come and join us. All right, shameless plug, shameless self-promotion. All right, according to Exodus 25:16, the ark contained two stone tablets, the Ten Commandments. The ark, and it also had a golden pot of manna, Exodus 16:32-34 tells us, and it contained Aaron's rod that budded. The book of Numbers tells us, in Numbers 17:11, tells us that it contained Aaron's rod that budded. But according to Hebrews 9:4, by the dedication of Solomon's temple, the pot of manna and Aaron's rod were gone. The only thing that remained by the time Solomon's temple was dedicated, the only thing that remained in the ark were the two tablets of the Ten Commandments. So that's 1 Kings 8:9. Now, the ark could only be carried by Levites, the Torah tells us, and David didn't know that. So when he went to Kiriath Jearim to take the ark back to Jerusalem from Kiriath Jearim, he made the mistake of not studying his Torah or not asking a priest, and he brought a guy named Uzzah, and the ark, you know, the oxen pulling the cart with the Ark of the Covenant stumbled, and it hit a rut, and it looked as though the ark was going to tumble, was going to fall. And Uzzah, this guy who wasn't a Levite, he was just a strong man, and he went to stabilize it and grab the ark from falling. He wanted to do a good thing. He wanted to protect the ark from falling. God struck him dead right there, because God said, you know, only Levites and the descendants of Aaron, and particularly a certain line of the Levites could carry the ark, and that was their assignment. And so he died because he wasn't a Levite. Deuteronomy 31:9 talks about that. It was placed at Shiloh. In Joshua 18:1, the ark was placed in Shiloh. It was there for over 300 years. David brought it. That's where the tabernacle stood for over 300 years. That's longer than the United States has been a country. David brought it to Jerusalem, as I said, from Kiriath Jearim, where it remained until the Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem in 586 BC. Nobody, I repeat, nobody knows what happened to it. Yet people obsess over it to this day and would surely make an idol of it if they knew where it was, though Jeremiah tells us in chapter 3, verse 16 of Jeremiah, that it will be forgotten and never found. Why? Because though God spoke from there for a time, God spoke to Moses, and he spoke from the ark. He dwelt there for a season. God is not in a box. Yeshua told the woman at the well that a time is coming, and now is, when neither will they worship the Father in that mountain near Shechem, where he was with her, nor in Jerusalem. John 4:21-24. I suggest you read that. God spoke to Moses from the burning bush before the ark was made, yet nobody knows what happened to the bush. If they did, people would surely worship the bush. But they don't know. Nobody knows where the burning bush that didn't burn was or what happened to it. But God spoke there, and Moses had to take his shoes off. Now, another interestingly, the ark in Hebrew was called the Aron Brit, the Aron Brit, the Ark of the Covenant, the Aron Brit. Okay, the Ark of the Covenant. Brit means covenant or cutting. And so it was, in Hebrew, it was called the Aron Brit. Now, interestingly, the word Aron not only means like chest, it means coffin. It's the same word that was used when Joseph was taken out of Egypt and placed in an Aron in Genesis, I believe it's 58. It says when Joseph died, he was placed in an Aron, and it was, that word is the word for coffin. So the name of the Ark of the Covenant in Hebrew also means coffin, interestingly enough. Now, let's look at Numbers chapter 21. We're going to look at another item that... Now, before I go on to this next item, I just want to say something about the Ark. Maybe I skipped a page here. Let me look. Praise the Lord. Women, there's a tunnel. I just want to tell you, there's a tunnel underneath It's called the Rabbi's Tunnel, and it goes along the western wall of Herod's temple in Jerusalem, and you can walk underneath there quite a distance. And when you're walking by underneath, they've dug out underneath the ground, underground, and you walk along the wall, you'll see these religious Jewish, Orthodox Jewish women praying through a window looking into a pile of dirt. Okay? You'll see these religious Jewish women sitting there 24/7 praying into a hole with a window so that nobody can go through there, because they believe that's the spot where the Holy of Holies would have been had the temple, you know, existed today, or, you know, where, when the temple was in existence, that was the exact spot and location of the Holy of Holies. And so women pray there to that spot even to this day, 24/7. I don't know why men don't do it, but I guess women have kind of taken the responsibility for praying. I don't know exactly why they pray or what they pray about the ark, but they pray to that pile of dirt through the window. It's kind of interesting when you walk by it and you see them, and you just kind of like, oh God, reveal yourself to them, because they're praying to a pile of dirt. Anyhow, let's talk about another thing that people have made an idol out of besides the Ark of the Covenant, and that is the bronze serpent. So it says in Numbers 21, children of Israel, they set out from Mount Hor in verse 4 by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the people became impatient because of the journey. The people spoke against God and Moses, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this miserable food." I've heard that one before, but not in my restaurant. And so the Lord, it says in verse 6, sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many people of Israel died. So the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned because we have spoken against the Lord, and you intercede with the Lord that he may remove the serpents from us. And Moses interceded for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a standard, and it shall come about that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, he will live. And Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on the standard. And it came about that if a serpent bit any man, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Now the sons of Israel moved out and camped in Oboth. So let's stop there for a second. So God told Moses, he prayed, and the people were like, help us, heal us, you know, we're dying from these serpents biting us. And God answered and said, Moses, fashion a bronze serpent on a pole, you know, and that very symbol, I believe, is the symbol of the American Medical Association. It's the symbol of the American Medical Association for healing. And what does a serpent represent? What's the serpent represent?
Satan
and sin. And so it also represents, so who became sin for us, the Bible says? Yeshua became sin for us, and they hung him on what? They hung him on a cross. So we're going to talk about that. Hezekiah. What happened was they called that after years went by. After, you know, God used that bronze serpent to heal the people, but then it served its purpose. But the people. And by the way, they called it Nehushtan. They came after that day. They eventually called it Nehushtan. Everybody say Nehushtan. That means something made of copper. Nehushtan. So if you have some pennies, you have Nehushtan in your pocket. All right. So Hezekiah, it says in 2 Kings 18:4, it says that he broke in Nehushtan in pieces, the bronze serpent that Moses made. For until those days, the sons of Israel burned incense to it, until the days from Moses to Hezekiah, hundreds of years. The children of Israel burned incense to the bronze serpent on the pole. And so stop and think, people. Moses, the great Moses built this bronze serpent. And a king of Israel destroyed it. Moses. I mean, this is an artifact. This is like, I mean, you know, people like collect guitars, you know, they want to have Ted, who would be a guitar that you'd want to own? Some Eric Clapton's guitar, I don't know. 57 Strat, okay, you know, Buddy Holly's Telecaster, I don't know. You know, somebody, you know, people collect things like, you know, and who wouldn't want something that Moses made? But Hezekiah didn't look at it that way. He destroyed it at the command of the Lord because the people had turned it into an idol. Yeah. Amen? The people had taken a good thing and they turned it into an idol. And that is our human nature, my friends. Hallelujah. So praise the Lord. So Jesus, Yeshua spoke of it in John 3:14. This is really cool. Let's turn to John 3:14 for a second. Yeshua spoke about the bronze serpent just before perhaps the most famous verse in the Bible, next to Psalm 23. Probably two of the most famous verses in the Bible. Definitely the most famous verse of Yankee Stadium. John 3:14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Hallelujah. And it says, the Bible tells us that Yeshua, Jesus, became sin for us. So that bronze serpent, as I said before, it became sin, was represented sin. It was a picture of Yeshua on the cross. It was a foreshadow of Yeshua the Messiah on the cross. The serpent on the pole was a foreshadow. And when the people looked at it, it was like looking at Yeshua. When we look to Yeshua, you know, who would one day be on the cross, although we don't have, he's not on the cross anymore, you know, what he accomplished on the cross brought our salvation. Amen? Amen. His crucifixion, his death, his blood shed for us, his dying for us brought about our salvation and our healing. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So, thank God for that. And so that bronze serpent, even in John, he talked about it, comparing it to the bronze serpent. All right. So friends, if people are praying 24/7 through a window to dirt under the Temple Mount, and Jews worship the bronze serpent on a pole for centuries, then there's nothing made there's nothing made or fashioned, even by God's command himself, that cannot be made an idol of. There is not anything that is made or fashioned by man, even Moses, that cannot be made into an idol. Okay? God commanded the temple to be built, but it was destroyed a few hundred years later. For centuries, the Catholic Church sold what were supposedly pieces of the cross of Jesus, supposed body parts of apostles and saints, such as hair or teeth or fingers, were sold for a hefty price to bishops and priests in the Catholic Church. Indulgences and relics were sold to make money for the church, and there's no evidence that these things were real, that any of these things were real. Nobody knows where the cross is, and there's a reason for that. There's a reason, and I'm gonna talk about that. Before I get to the cross, let me talk about the Holy Grail. The Holy Grail is the English name for the cup, the third cup of the Passover meal of the Last Supper. The Holy Grail is the world's name for the third cup that the Jews that Yeshua and his disciples and his apostles took at the Passover meal. And there's been a search for the Holy Grail. The Indiana Jones movies were centered on the search for the Holy Grail. And the story of King Arthur, if you read King Arthur, it all was about the Holy Grail was the central theme of one of the central themes of the story of King Arthur, which is English mythology, Anglo-Saxon mythology. There's no evidence that they're really that the story of King Arthur was, well, let's say it was embellished, if there was a King Arthur at all. But anyway, it's a great story. I enjoy the book. It was never found. They never found the Holy Grail. They never found the cup. Okay? They never found it. Everybody say they never found it. Another modern idol that Indiana Jones found it in the movie. Yeah, of course. It's in Harrison Ford's house. Right. Until an earthquake knocked it off the shelf and it smashed. But another modern idol is King David's supposed tomb on Mount Zion in a crusader church. Religious Jews pray to the tomb constantly. You can go and visit it. It sits underneath what's called the upper room, except that upper room was a mosque, and it was made in the probably around 1500 or so. It was a crusader church, and that mosque, after the crusaders, the Muslims built that building or changed it sometime after the Crusades. And so there's no evidence that really is the upper room, but that's where, when you go to Israel, they'll take you to that room that has Muslim arches and tell you that's the upper room. Okay? Jews pray to the tomb of David underneath of it constantly. There's a tomb there. And religious Jews are praying to King David's tomb, and you got to be quiet. You go in there, you got to be quiet. They make you put on a yarmulke and cover your head. Men must cover their heads. Women are on one side, men are on the other side. And it's a very holy place, King David's tomb. The only problem is it's about a half a mile from where the Bible says King David's buried. Because it's on the top of Mount Zion, way up the hill. And if you go about a half mile down the hill, it says in the Bible, and we're going to read it, in 1 Kings 2:10, it tells us, "Then David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David." Well, the city of David is about a half mile down the hill from where the supposed tomb of David is, which is actually in the city of Jerusalem, not in the city of David. So it can't possibly be David's tomb. I don't know whose tomb it is. Maybe a guy named Dave. All right. But anyway, so they made an idol out of it. They pray to it. They worship there. And it's crazy. You know, this isn't rocket science. Other idols are the tomb of Jesus. You know, there's two competing sites. There's the Holy Church of the Holy Sepulchre. I once took a Protestant family on a private tour of Israel, and I didn't get to tell them that there's a Protestant site. And they went to the Catholic site first. And there's a big marble slab on the floor when you walk into the... It's a joint church between the Catholics and the Orthodox. And in order to compromise, a Muslim has the key to the church. A Muslim has the key to the church. And it's a joint venture, that Church of the Holy Sepulchre. My mother went there. And there's the marble slab where they supposedly laid the body of Jesus. Now, it's in the city of Jerusalem. Now, it says that he was crucified outside the city. And there's debate as to whether at the time of the crucifixion, whether that was in the city or outside the city. I think it was inside the city myself, but I don't know. That's debatable. But anyway, so speaking of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, so I took this family And they didn't know there was another site, a Protestant site. And so like all the pilgrims that come in there from all over the world, they got down on their knees and started kissing this. They started kissing the, thank you, sir. They started kissing the marble slab. All these Catholic and Christian pilgrims from all over the world get down on the floor, and it's like kissing the Blarney Stone. You know, I mean, they're kissing this marble slab that nobody knows for sure that Jesus was laid on. Amen? And I'm like, oh my goodness, Lord, help me, have mercy on these poor people. They have no idea what they're doing, but I'm not going to say anything. And then like the next day, I took them to the garden tomb. Took them to the garden tomb, which is where the Protestants believe was the actual tomb. I've actually sensed the presence of God more at the garden tomb than in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. But people make an idol of it. I mean, they actually get down on the ground and kiss it. And same thing with the Church of the Nativity, where they believe that the baby Jesus was born. They believe they've got the exact spot of the manger, and it's got like a star. It's like a gold star and a candle. And people get down and kiss it, and they cry, and they just fall apart. And there's no evidence that that's the spot where the manger was. There's really no proof, because you know why? Constantine the emperor in the 4th century, his mother went to Jerusalem, went to Israel, and she established many of those churches, like the Church of the Holy Sepulchre and the Church of the Nativity. She built it. She had it commissioned, and there's no evidence 400 years after the death resurrection of Messiah, there's no evidence that she had the right spot. They just built a church, and people believe. And so they make an idol of these places. And so their other idols are the tomb of Jesus. There's two competing tombs. another one is the real Mount Sinai. There's two competing Mount Sinais. There's one, the Bible says it's Mount Sinai in Arabia. But yet, if you go on a tour, they'll take you to Mount Sinai in Egypt. Egypt is not Arabia, but Paul said Mount Sinai in Arabia. Now, if they crossed the Red Sea, that would put them in Arabia. They'd have been wandering around in the desert of Arabia, and that would be more likely where Mount Sinai is. But when you go, if you get to go to Egypt and you go down to the southern, to Eilat and to the, I forget the name of the border there, crossing, it's, what? Starts with a T. Anyway, there's a border crossing into Egypt, and you go to Mount Sinai in Egypt. It's probably a phony mountain, but it probably gives you some idea of what it was like in the desert. You know, it gives you some idea, but I doubt it's the real Mount Sinai. Okay, I just really doubt it. All right, so, but people worship, and we had a lady in our group, bless her heart. She dressed up as the bride. When we went up Mount Sinai, she dressed up as the bride, and she had these bug-eyed yellow sunglasses, these bug-eyed, you know, the kind of sunglasses that like the moon, you know, the lens of the astronauts, you see the reflections, like a mirror. They were mirror lenses. They were yellow, and she was wearing a bride's outfit, and she made us all carry flags up the mountain at 1 o'clock in the morning. We're on the back of scrawny, unfed camels that carried us. Some of us, well, I paid 10 bucks or 20 bucks because I didn't want to climb the whole mountain at 1 o'clock in the morning. So the camel took me up 2/3 of the way, and it hurt like heck. I mean, I'll tell you, that camel was bony. It took me up the mountain, and she made me carry flags, banners, and other people were carrying shofars. And we had this worship service up on Mount Sinai, and she dressed as the bride with her bug-eyed sunglasses that reflected. And it was like, you know, what was that movie about the fly with the Jewish, what was that Jewish guy? Jeff Goldblum, Goldberg, whatever, Jeffrey Goldblum, whatever his name was, had the movie The Fly. I thought I was, you know, reenacting the Fly movie. And we're on Mount Sinai. That's crazy. People are nuts. I'm telling you. And Lord have mercy. So the real Mount Sinai. And then there's other idolatrous sites. The site of the loaves and fishes. The Bible says it was on the east side, on the other side of the water of the Sea of Galilee. But the Catholic Church built the Church of the Loaves of Fishes on the western side. And then the Mount of Beatitudes is nowhere near Bethsaida, where the village of Bethsaida, where the Bible says the Mount of Beatitudes was located near in a deserted place near Bethsaida. The Mount of Beatitudes, the church, the Catholic Church, built on that beautiful hill at the very northern end of the Sea of Galilee. It's a beautiful spot, but very unlikely the spot of where Yeshua spoke the Beatitudes, and it was built by Mussolini, the church. Mussolini built a Catholic church, and the nuns are about as evil as Mussolini, because if you're there a minute early, they won't let you in, and if you're there a minute late, they'll shout at you to get out of there. I don't know if you have you ever been shouted by the nuns? I have, but praise the Lord. I was saved reading the Beatitudes, and so I've been privileged by the Lord to share my testimony at least 10 times to tour groups there at the spot of the Mount of Beatitudes to share my testimony. And our Jewish tour guide actually got saved, and then he died just a few months later. He got saved hearing my testimony, and he started weeping, and he soon after he got saved, and then he died. They found him in his hotel room. He was our tour guide, but several months later, he passed away, and I had a vision of him in a white robe, wearing a white robe, and he became a believer, praise God, after he died. It was wonderful, you know. So God's blessed me in so many ways. I've been to Israel 17 times. Okay, the site of the loaves and fishes, and yes, folks, even the cross can be an idol. Even the cross can be an idol. Now, you say to me, Rabbi Joe, how can the cross be an idol? Well, no offense to anybody who likes the song, The Old Rugged Cross, but would somebody look up the lyrics on your phone to The Old Rugged Cross and see who it gives glory to? Bring me the phone, I'll read the lyrics. But I want to ask you a question, how the cross can be an idol. And here's the question. Are people saved? For God so loved the world that whoever believed in the cross would not perish but have eternal life?
No.
Or what does it say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. But yet there are people that make, you know, and they make, thank you, dear. They make an idol out of, and I don't think, you know, these people intend, I'm just going to use these lyrics, but listen to this. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. How about the Messiah? You know, to the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away where his glory forever I'll share. And I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. No, cling to Jesus.
Yes.
Cling to the Messiah.
Amen.
Cling to Yeshua. No cross is going to save you. Amen? Somebody's calling you, dear. Thank you. Oh, here you are, sweetheart. There you go. No cross is going to save you. The cross was an instrument of death created by the Romans, just like the pole that Moses made with the bronze serpent. It fulfilled a purpose. Yeshua became sin for us. Amen? And he was on the cross for a brief time, and people looked at him on the cross and they were healed. However, he's not on the cross anymore. He's not in a tomb anymore that people bow down and kiss the marble. Amen? He's not in a tomb anymore. And you know, people even make idols. So, you know, God didn't say for whosoever believes in a Roman cross will be saved and will have eternal life. But for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I said anything that is fashioned by man and even at God's command can be made into an idol. From the Ark of the Covenant to the burial slab to the Aaron's rod that budded to the jar of manna to the temple itself to the hole in the ground where the women pray can be made into an idol. Now does that you know, you can be honest with me and you don't have to raise your hand. It may be difficult for you to think that the cross can be made an idol. But I want you to think about how people look at the cross, especially some religions, perhaps even, you know, maybe Catholic faith treats the cross. They've even got Jesus still on the cross. In fact, you know, I'm not here, I'm no man's judge, but I am pointing this out that I think that people, you know, one woman, let me tell you a little story. She came to me in the bagel shop years ago, and she said to me, I want to go to the synagogue. Christian woman, she had a cross on. And she said to me, she wanted to go to the synagogue. And I said, you know what? I said, that's fine. Go to the synagogue. And I suggest you either take your cross off if you're going to visit them or you put it underneath a turtleneck or something. And she said, oh, no, I couldn't do that. Well, what makes you a Christian? Wearing a gold cross that you bought in a jewelry store? Or your heart and what Yeshua, what Jesus did for you and you know, how he transformed you as a person, how he transformed your heart. What makes you a believer? What makes you, you know, what's going to make those Jews want you? That gold cross on your neck? Or what God did for you and made you, if you really love them, take it off. Don't shove it down their throats. Jews have had the cross shoved down their throats. They've had the Crusaders came with crosses and raped our women. The Crusaders came with crosses and they burned our houses. The Inquisition, the Spanish Inquisition, came with crosses and they raped Jewish women and they made men parade naked through the streets and they burned them at the stake. And they did terrible things to the Jews in the Spanish Inquisition and all throughout history from the fourth century on, they did horrible atrocities committed to the Jews. The Jews were expelled from every country in Europe. All over, everywhere they went, the Jews were persecuted. Yes. And it was always done with a cross. They always shoved that cross in their face. Now, I personally don't have a problem with the cross. I you know, I'm not offended by the cross. But the cross in and of itself can be used as an offense to Jews, and it doesn't help them come to Christ.
Right.
If you really love Jews, tell them about Yeshua. Tell them about Jesus. First, build a relationship with them. And tell them the gospel. But don't make the cross, you know, don't beat them over the head. You've heard of beating over the head with the Bible? Amen. You've heard of, you know, you beating someone over the head with a Bible. You can beat someone over the head with a cross too.
Right.
Amen. Nobody was ever saved believing in the cross. Now, with that said, I'm not offended by it, and I have no problem with the cross, but I also don't make an idol out of it. All right. And I'm not, you want to wear a cross around your neck? God bless you. But if you're going to go to a synagogue, I don't fault you. If you want to wear a cross, you want to hang one in your living room, you know, go for it. God bless you. But I just don't recommend you wear it out in public to a synagogue if you're going to go visit Jews and try to win them. So anyway, The wooden instrument of death constructed by Roman barbarians never saved a fly. Yet people today make an idol of the cross. Folks, Jesus is not on that cross anymore. He's not in a tomb, but sits at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. So let's go to my conclusion here. God's presence, folks, can be anywhere. He can take anything. He can take our worship as he did today. And what we need is his presence.
Amen.
Amen. The anointing. It doesn't matter if our music is perfect, as long as it's anointed.
Amen.
You know, I'm not a perfect musician. And I'm greatly honored when a guy like Ted Pierce, who I you know look up to. I don't worship Ted, but I look up to him. You know, I've admired his music and been a fan for many years, back to 2001, Zealous Over Zion came out. You know, long time. And you've been to our congregation, gosh, 20 times probably. You know. We love Ted, but we don't worship Ted. Amen. So I've had musicians come, you know, and the music worshipers come, and it was just mediocre. You know, you didn't sense the presence of God. And other times we've carried our palm branches around, and the anointing is on those branches. And there's been times when we've carried the palm branches, and the anointing was so strong. Amen? There was one time I went to a feast in Central Tennessee, Middle Tennessee, and Asher Intrader was preaching, and then they had the people take up their palm branches, and the anointing was so heavy on the palm branches as we waved them and we marched around during the Feast of Sukkot. Feast of Tabernacles. But there's other times that I've carried the branches and gone down to the tabernacle and not sensed anything. You know, if God's Spirit is on it, you know, blowing the shofar, if the Spirit of the Lord is on it, it's going to knock you off your feet. You know, it's going to blow you away. But if it's not, it's going to sound like a dreadful scream in your ears. Amen. And you know, I've heard people with just not average voices like myself, but every week, you know, when me and Don do worship, I have never seen a week when we got to the point of communion where it didn't get quiet. Can you think of a week where it didn't get quiet before we did communion, where the presence of God, you felt the holiness of God? I can't remember a time, even when we were having a bad day, when God didn't honor it. Because God says, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. So even though we may not be at our best, and even though his strength is perfected in our weakness, that's what we want, is his presence. His anointing. Amen. I've been to Pentecostal churches and seen no man healed. I've been to Pentecostal churches and seen lots of people healed. I've been to Jewish services. I've been to Methodist services and been seen people healed. You know, I've seen people saved in Presbyterian churches and saved in Methodist churches and saved in Lutheran churches. You know, you just don't know what God's going to do, where he's going to show up. Amen? I mean, I've been to some frozen, chosen churches. I was in a church in South Africa. Now, if there's a stiff people, it's the Afrikaners. Okay? I mean, these folks are stiff. You know, they're a little uptight. Okay? And God bless them, because they're getting killed they're being murdered down there in South Africa. Terrible things that they're doing to the farmers. I'm not defending what the pre-Mandela Afrikaners did to the black people of South Africa. I'm not defending that at all. But Nelson Mandela was kind to his enemies. But the people that came after Mandela were more out for vengeance. Right now, they're killing white people. particularly the Afrikaner farmers who tend to be, I think they're German or Dutch. They're Dutch and German, and they came down from Germany and Holland, and they settled, and they created this community called the Afrikaners, where they speak this kind of Germanic Dutch language, and their churches are dry. I mean, they don't, you know, I'm talking frozen chosen, dry toast. And we did a service where we did our music. We liberated Wellingwall. We sang and testified. And one day, 15 people got saved in one church. 15 people stood up and received the Lord and prayed to receive the Lord. And they stood up and accepted the Lord. 15 in one church. Maybe 150, 200 people, you know. So God's presence can be anywhere in the world. That's what Yeshua said in John 4. You don't have to worship him in Jerusalem. Well, that's nice if you can go there. He told the woman at the well, worship can be in a synagogue, a church. He didn't tell her that, but he said it can be not just in Jerusalem or her mountain. It can be people will worship the Lord all over the world in spirit and truth. Worship can be in a synagogue, it can be in a church, in a car, on a hike, on a bike, on a walk. I had a walk and a talk with my wife, and we prayed last night, and the Lord was there, and it was beautiful. We were singing and worshiping as I was walking and talking to Captain Rebbitson Don Bell at midnight. But it is human to make idols out of the things of God. One last such thing are his feasts. His feast days of worship. I saw a sign once that said, Sunday worship, a certain church, which I won't name. It's a Saturday church. And they had a sign up on the highway. It said, Sunday worship is the mark of the beast. Yeah, it was a billboard. Anybody remember that billboard on off 81 years ago? It was up there for about 2-3 years. Anybody remember it? It said, Sunday worship is the mark of the beast, 666. I remember it. That's a little harsh, you know. And so to conclude, people make idols out of the feast days and the Sabbaths of God. They make idols out of prayer shawls, shofars, fringes. God told me to wear fringes when I came to town, and I used to wear these on my belt loop. And I wore them every day for 2 years because he told me to. I guess he wanted everyone to meet me, and I guess they'd spot me if I was wearing a yarmulke and fringes. They would know I was the new Messianic rabbi in town. So for 2 years, I wore them. And then one day, I went to put them on my fanny pack as I was going for a run, and I heard a voice say, "You don't have to be religious about it." And I never put them on again, except on Shabbat. Now, why am I wearing this? This is my tradition. I grew up doing this in the synagogue. When I went to the synagogue, I always wore a prayer shawl. Do I have to wear a prayer shawl? No. I'm free not to. But some folks aren't. They have to. They can't worship without it. I'm wearing a hat. Some folks can't worship without a head covering, a yarmulke. Some folks can't worship without, you know, they just certain things they have to have to do it, you know. Some can't worship with a hat. That's right. Because the Bible says, you know, men shouldn't wear a hat. But Jews wear hats. So, you know, let's talk about that. So Jesus worshiped on Saturday, friend. If you read Luke 4, the biblical Sabbath was on Friday night to sundown on Saturday. If you don't know, believe that, read Matthew 28:1. It says, on the morrow after the Sabbath, on the first day of the week, the women came to the empty tomb, and they saw the stone had been moved. And an angel appeared to them and said, you know, who are you looking for? And they said, our Lord is gone. They were crying. And he said, do not be sad. He is not here. He is risen from the dead. Amen. On the first day after the Sabbath, on Sunday. So, you know,
He worshipped on Saturday. Read Luke 4. As was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath day and was handed the book of Isaiah, it tells us in Luke 4. Paul, it says, was his custom, worshipped on the Sabbath day. That's today. Today is the Sabbath. But if you can't or have never visited a real, if you can't worship on the Sabbath, if you think Sunday is the only holy day of the week and you're stuck on it, you need to come worship on Saturday. If you believe in the Ten Commandments, somebody told me that the, according to the Fifth Commandment, their relationship with their father-in-law was more important than their relationship with their husband, because the Fifth Commandment is honor thy father and mother. Okay? And so this person is a caregiver to their father-in-law, said to me that their relationship with, it's more important their caregiving to their father than dealing with the medical issues of their husband. And I said, whoa, horsey, whoa. A man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Amen? The most important relationship is the husband and wife. Parents, once you're married, parents are a secondary or tertiary relationship. They're not, it's not the same. And no, your parents are not as important as your spouse. Okay? It's important to know that, because if you want to keep your marriage, I've seen many marriages broken up because people took care of a brother or a sister or a parent, and they at the expense of their spouse, and their marriage ended, sadly. So I could go on with that. Children are your second, your spouse is your most important relationship. After that are your children, is a secondary, and then the tertiary, the third relationship, are your grandchildren. And that's the way inheritance is usually passed on. From one spouse dies, leaves the inheritance to the other spouse, and then that spouse dies, leaves it to the children. The children pass on, they leave it to the grandchildren. And that's the way traditionally things work with inheritance. Okay. So, if you can't or have never visited a real Messianic, I was a Sunday pastor at one time. If you can't visit a Saturday synagogue because you think Sunday's the only day or God's holy day, you need to come, because you've made an idol out of Sunday, all right? And if you think Saturday is the only day, and you're a Christian, and there's a lot of you guys out there that are Christians that have gotten onto the Sabbath and gotten onto the feasts of the Jews and gotten on to, you know, there's a lot of folks out there that have gotten on, and they wear prayer shawls and fringes, and they learn Hebrew, and they sing Jewish music, and they try to get guys like Ted Pierce to come and play for them, but he won't come because he doesn't like it. You know? You said that on TV. I said that on TV. I'm sorry. I made that up. I can't speak for Ted. Anyway, bottom line is, there's Christians who play Jewish, and they're hung up on the Sabbath and Jewish festivals to the point where they despise the word church. They despise the word Jesus. They despise people who don't keep kosher, and they'll tell you you need to keep kosher. They despise the word Christian. They despise the word cross. They despise Sunday worship. And as I've heard many Christians turn against their own faith origin, where they grew up in church, and they despise it now because they discovered the Jewishness of the faith. You need to repent, because God made the Jews and the synagogue, and God made the church. He made the age of the Gentiles. He made the times of the Jews. He made the Jewish Messianic community. He made the Christian community. Each one to serve a purpose that we both need to come to understand. People always say to me, they say, Rabbi Joe, congratulations, you're a completed Jew, brother. And you know what I say to them? Thank you. Are you a completed Christian? And they look at me like I have three heads when I ask them, are you a completed Christian? They don't know what I mean. Well, heck, we're the root of the olive tree. We're the root of your Christian faith. If you don't, and you're not going to learn the root by reading a book. You're not going to learn the root of the olive tree by watching a video. You're not going to learn it by listening to some preacher on TV once in a while. You're going to learn it by coming to a messianic Jewish synagogue, like James said in Acts 15, for Moses is preached in every city. If you want to connect with your Jewish roots, go to the synagogue. That doesn't mean you can't go to church. It just means if you really want to learn the roots of your faith and understand them, spend 6 months in a messianic synagogue on Saturday and go to church on Sunday.
Amen?
Amen? If you spend 6 months or a year, you're going to learn something.
Yes.
At least two things. Praise God. So, God made the church, and I believe in Christianity. I believe in the church, and I believe in Messianic Judaism. I believe in the Jewish roots of our faith. And I can go to a Sunday church, but many of you can't come to a Messianic synagogue, and you won't come because you think we're Judaizers or you think we're under the law and you don't even know us. How can you understand your Christian faith if you don't understand the roots of your faith, the Jewish roots, and you don't get them from, as I said, as a book or a video or even Perry Stone? You don't get it from Perry Stone. You want the real Jewish roots. You got one rabbi here. That's me, and I don't know how long I'm going to be here. Because I've been fighting cancer for 9 years. I'm gonna beat it. But I don't know how long I'm going to be here.
Amen.
And you're not always going to be here to teach it to you. And God wants you to come. Just visit. I'm not telling you to leave your church. Come and visit.
Amen.
We had a great, you know, worship leader here today. Great service. And then we didn't have a single visitor. And I advertised it to thousands of people. But nobody... You couldn't put down your lawnmower. You couldn't put down your trip to Bass Pro Shop or your boating trip to the lake. Many of you couldn't put down your whatever it is you do on your Saturday routine to be bothered to come to the synagogue. But you say you love Israel. And you say you stand with the Jews. You need to repent. Because salvation is of the Jews, and your salvation, when Donald Trump leaves office, may depend on the Jewish people, and you don't even know it. You have no idea what you're going to do, because they want to take away your Bibles, they want to take away your guns, they say they want to buy back your guns, they want to buy back your old clunkers, your cars, your fossil fuel. They want to take away your rights to free speech. They want to tax you 70% to 90%. You're going to be poor. You aren't going to have a job. They're raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour. It's going to put people out of work. And they want to put them out of work because they want them to be dependent on the government. Because the government is their religion. The government is the provider. But the reality is, communism killed over 100 million people in the 20th century. And Americans who have freedom and have capitalism and have opportunity to make wealth and grow and have freedom and do what they want to do, want to give up their freedom for the government, the nanny state. And you Christians who want, like your freedom, you don't even know what's going to happen to you when Mr. Trump leaves office. He's the only one supporting anti-abortion. He's pro-life. He's pro-Israel. I don't care if you hate his guts. He's the only thing between you and this and communism coming to America.
That's right.
You have no other choice. So I don't care if you like his hair, you don't like his tweets. Get over it.
Amen.
Amen. And you need to come to a Messianic... You get the understanding by having a relationship with Messianic Jews. You say you love Israel. You say you stand with Israel. The Messianic Jews, we have the prophetic revelation of the end times. We have the answers to the questions about what's going to happen. The missing link in prophecy is Messianic Judaism.
Yes.
It's the missing link in Christian prophecy that's been sailing... You know, off on a trajectory that's been off because it's been missing its Jewish roots for 2,000 years. And there's only one synagogue here. There's another one in 120 miles away in Knoxville, if you want to go there. You can go, was it about 120 miles to Asheville, Ted? 100 miles? 80 to 100. It's about 2 hours if you want to go to Asheville and get some messianic stuff there. Or you could go to Roanoke, which is 150 miles. Or you could just come here and be part of the, part of your local messianic community that God sent. And run by a real Jew. Praise the Lord. God help us. Everybody wants anything but the real thing. Any other Jewish style stuff is false and no more Jewish than I am, a Methodist, a Lutheran. Anybody that's out there playing Jewish and doing Sabbaths and feasts and they're not Jewish and they're just, maybe they learned under me. Or maybe they read a book or they studied or whatever. Or they listened to, read some books and they started their own, you know, synagogue. Jesus called it a synagogue of Satan. Those who say they are Jews but are not. Woe unto them, it says in Revelation 3. I believe also in Revelation 2. Church of Philadelphia. Woe unto those who say they are Jews but are not. If you're part of that, repent. Get out of it. You've made an idol out of the feasts. You've made an idol out of the things of the Jews. And you need to get away from Jewish stuff. Just like I was a rock and roll and Beatles fan, God made me throw out my Beatles, my antique Beatles records from the 60s. And all my rock, you know, all my old music, my Creedence Clearwater Revival, made me toss it out in the garbage because I'd made an idol of it. Doesn't matter. Anything that's fashion, anything that keeps you from the truth is an idol. Anything that you put before the truth of God and are disobedient, makes you disobedient to God is an idol. So those people who play Jewish are false, and they're no more Jewish than I am, a Methodist, a Lutheran, or I am an Episcopalian, or I'm from the Church of God. I'm not. And I don't pretend to be. So beware. It doesn't mean I'm not Pentecostal in my own way or believe in healing or the gifts. I do. But I'm not in the assemblies and I'm not in the Church of God or any of those groups. I have friends in them. Beware of, you know, as I said before, those who say they are Jews but are not. Jesus called them the synagogue of Satan in Revelation 2 and 3. I would not wish to be counted among those who will have to answer to God Almighty for passing themselves off as Jews or Israelites. That is idolatry and is leading people astray from their true calling to Israel. By running one of those congregations, you are leading people who are meant to be in a true Messianic Jewish synagogue away from their true calling. You're tampering with the testimony of Israel and the region where you live. By keeping innocent sheep, it would be better that you had a millstone around your neck, God says. Not me. Jesus said it. That you had a millstone around your neck than you caused one of those little lambs to stumble. Amen. And keep them from the true calling of Israel and the Jewish people. Get rid of our stuff. If you want to be messianic, repent. Start a Sunday church. Be a Christian. But you won't do it because you'll lose your people. They'll all leave. And you'll lose your tithes. I'd like to see it. That's my challenge. All right, please rise. I want to bless you. That was my fiery serpent message. I should have called this the fiery serpent message. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechech Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai Panavelecha, Ayasem lecha, Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of Yeshua, the Messiah and Prince of Peace. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom. Lay down your idols. God bless you all.